friend of mine recommends this book. He goes, man, I just think you're going to love it. And I read it. And immediately I tell my wife, hey, next Sunday, I'm walking out the door at 5:30 in the morning. Pick me up at 5:30, wherever I'm at. Find me on Life 360. I'm going to need picked up. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do this thing. I end up walking 30 miles, 60,000 steps, which is, first of all, I didn't even know I can do that. I've never gone that far. I've never done anything quite like right. that. Not that I'm not a physical person, but that's a long way. And so yeah. that makes you first go, what else could I do? As you think about that, what else is possible?
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the John Donnelly. He is the executive director of sales. That's like a vice regent. I don't know. We're gonna keep spicing up his title at like every 10 minutes in the podcast. But he is the executive director of sales at Service First Mortgage, a company dedicated to community enrichment and financial empowerment. He's passionate about leadership development. I share that heart. John focuses on fostering growth and achievement through speed, service, and synergy, the three S's. He believes success stems from strong leadership, a growth mindset, and partnering with organizations that deliver excellence. Committed to making a lasting impact, John strives to be an influential leader in both the professional and personal lives of his team. Welcome to the show, John.
Man, thanks for having me. I love your energy today. It's going to be great.
Man, I've just had that much coffee, so it's like it's only going to go. I might sound like Alvin the Chipmunk by the end of the episode.
I'll try my best to keep up.
I love it. Man, I'm excited for us to have this conversation. So tell me, what is on your mind?
Man, I got two things on my mind, so we can go deep into both of those if you want. One of them is I leave on June 12th to go hike Kilimanjaro. That's a big deal for me. Kind of an interesting journey how I got here, but that's coming up soon. And then that's kind of my personal growth thing I'm going through. And and my other one is, like we just kind of mentioned, there's like AI is here and I'm feeling it and there's a lot going on and how is it affecting our business and our thoughts are changing around how we do business. So that's something on my mind today, you know.
Let's start with like your journey to Kilimanjaro, because I think there's a thread here from going along that journey. And then how does that sort of inform how the journey through AI and the way that right. your industry, which is fairly traditional, straightforward, right? The mortgage industry, I don't think a ton has changed right. in the last 10,000 years. That's going to be really, really interesting because it's not known as like a tech first forward type of industry, even though it has a lot of technology going for it. Take us through a little bit of your story, if you will. I know I've already heard it, but the listener hasn't. What makes an executive director of sales at a mortgage company decide, I'm going to go hike Kilimanjaro. I'm bored. I'm tired of dealing with finances. I think I would like to go up really high. What leads you there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I'm passionate about growth and reading books and learning and just trying to chart it myself. And I stumbled upon a book called The 12-Hour Walk. And this book challenges you to walk out your front door and go for a 12-hour walk with no music or headphones or friends or dogs and just kind of spend time by yourself. And that's kind of a big deal. So a friend of mine recommends this book. He goes, man, I just think you're going to love it. And I read it. And immediately I tell my wife, hey, next Sunday, I'm walking out the door at 5:30 in the morning. Pick me up at 5:30, wherever I'm at. Find me on Life 360. I'm going to need picked up. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do this thing. And so I end up walking 30 miles, 60,000 steps, which is, first of all, I didn't even know I can do that. I've never gone that far. I've never done anything quite like right. that. Not that I'm not a physical person, but that's a long way. And so yeah. that makes you first go, what else could I do? As you think about that, what else mm-hmm. is possible? And then I'm on this walk and I'm taking notes, you know, kind of in my phone, just writing things down I'm thinking of. And for years, I have this story in the back of my mind from Bob Goff. I don't know if you know Bob Goff. He wrote a book called Love Does. Oh, he's yeah. got a crazy yep. story.
Loves balloons.
Yeah. I mean, he's an amazing speaker. I just love him. And I've cut through the story. But anyway, he goes up Kilimanjaro and he ends up adopting a kid from Africa through his journeys there. And when he's 10, his kid says, I want to go up Kilimanjaro. So he does it. So I hear this story like 10 years ago. And it's always kind of been in my mind, like, that seemed possible. If Bob Goff could do it, maybe I can do it. It just seemed possible. So on this walk, I'm like, hey, I'm getting older. I should do something significant. That's what I came up with. I'm going to do it. And I set my vision out there and, you know, and then I started realizing, wow, what do I have to do to get ready for that? I've got to work out more. I've got to eat better. I've got to get in better shape. But what's crazy is just changed everything about me. It changed my health. It changed my routines. It changed my sleep patterns. I have more energy and I have this giant goal that's pulling me at it and it's exciting, right? And so, yeah, heck yeah, that carries over to your business a lot, you know, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's so much to unpack and that I love about your story. I love it's like, I'm just walking out the door. That just is both inspiring. And there's a funny part in that because my mind is twisted. Just like walked out the door. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just heading out into the night.
I literally did too. I did not know.
Yeah. I think people think, okay, cool. Like just walk for 12 hours. But then you say like, no music, right. Nope, no audio book. You're just you and the world.
Meditation in a way. That's kind of what you go through.
Yeah. So I'm curious what, besides the fact that you get to the end of your 30 miles and your wife's picking you up and you go, wow, I wasn't sure I was capable of that all at once, right? Because, you know, you get 60,000 steps. You're like, can I bank this towards my 10,000 day or something like that? Is there rollover steps? But, and that's a joke for the older generation who remember rollover minutes. But you get there. What, was there anything you changed your mind about? Apart from maybe what am I capable of, was there anything in that 12-hour meditation that having that amount of space to process your own thoughts, you changed your mind on anything?
Yeah, that's a great question. I changed my mind on, this is obvious, but I changed my mind on how long a walk could be, like a standard walk when I go with my dog. Normally I go for a mile and think that's a long way. Now if I go three, I'm like, like that's not that far. So your perspective of what's possible changes, but then what also is interesting is you go through a whole lot of emotion in the sense that when you think about things, maybe you're trying to sort through. When you've solved them, you quit thinking about them and they're done. And you don't think about them anymore. But when I kept coming back to something, I knew I didn't have an answer yet. And even though I might have thought I did, I keep thinking about it. I keep thinking about it. I must not be clear. And so you got 12 hours. Like you go through motions of, why am I even doing this? This is dumb. To, I literally walked. There was a point I walked an hour and a half and I forgot where I was because I was so deep in thought. I looked up and I'm like, wow, how'd I get here? You know? And so you got a lot of different things that go on. And one of my things that was significant, and I don't know if it's like a change my mind on, but I really thought about who am I trying to become in my leadership style. Yeah. And there's not like a new person I'm trying to be that's not out there. So kind of from learning from other people, like who can I model myself after that is more successful? And I thought about 10 people and I put my little board of directors together in my head. This was all stuff I'm thinking about. And I kind of said, hey, of all these 10 people, I want to be like them a little bit of each one. And I started having this conversation with this board of directors in my head. I mean, I'm getting kind of loopy at this point, you know, but this is like a crazy thing I'm going through. And this is something I would never, if I would have went on a 30-minute or a 1-hour walk, I would never have gotten to this deep of thought. And I get really down in here. Now I'm talking to these people at this board, at this table, asking for advice. You know, I thought that was really cool. And, you know, it just made me think that the common theme I came up with is I'm trying to be known as a class act. That's what I want to be known as. Am I doing that right now? Sometimes not. What does that mean to me? And I have to, you know, establish that, how I show up, how I speak, in my own time, like all the little things.
Yeah. There's some stuff that you're hitting on that, I've started thinking through too. So maybe we'll connect some thoughts here. But I would love to hear, when you say class act, and I've heard other people, like they start to, like a word just sticks with them, or a phrase. If you're given like sort of like the one sentence definition of what it means to be a class act, what have you come up with, or what are you holding to?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't have that one little sentence yet, but it's kind of what I started seeing. It's somebody that people look up to. It's always being put together, prepared, on time, ready for the situation, have thought through what I might be facing and be ready for things and not just kind of trying to wing it. And then also following up in a way that is meaningful. And also in a sense, like when people leave a conversation with me, they're like, that was good. I'm glad I got to have that moment with that person. And I haven't quite got there yet, but that's a great question. I probably will now because you're helping challenge.
We'll come back. We'll update the show notes right when on. John emails us. Yes, but no, I resonate with a lot of that. And when you were talking, it made me think about some of the things I read through your bio about just partnering with organizations that deliver excellence. And I just hear excellence when you talk about what it means to be a class act, that I'm prepared, I'm thoughtful, I'm present. There's that excellence level of not perfection.
I don't hear that.
Right. But it is this, well, look, I'll draw this comparison because in 2023, I did 2 half Ironman races, which if you're not familiar with those, listener, they're 70.3 miles. It's a 1.2 mile swim, 56 mile bike ride, and a half marathon, so 13.1 mile run. I went from idea to doing it in 3 months.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
And that was my first triathlon. I don't recommend people do it that way. Work your way up. And also swim in a wetsuit earlier than the night before the race. Just an idea. But I had, there's a guy, he was on the show, Jeff Scheffelbein. He's in the DFW area, smart guy. And he gave me a book. He's also a class act fella, so y'all would probably get along. But it was about tribal leadership. And I heard him give a talk that referenced a lot of that. And he said that this highest level was, we're not in business, and as teams, we're not competing against the marketplace or each other or inside or outside or anything. We're competing against what's possible. And during the course of that first half Ironman, that had to come back to me because I had never ridden a bike that far. I had never swam that far, at least not in open water in a wetsuit and doing all that. I had done a half marathon, but it had been 10 plus years since I had done it. Other than that, I was just playing like indoor soccer. And so getting out there, it's sort of like you on your walk, like you're like, how did I end up here? Like, what is happening? Like, I started having conversations with myself. I hit that loopy point. I'm sure I either entertained or worried a few onlookers as I'm like singing and talking to myself. But that thought of competing against what's possible. And so when we think of excellence, like that capacity question, what else could I do? What else am I capable of? And so when I hear you talk class act and excellence, I think, well, what could I do? Could I improve this? Could I show up differently in this conversation? Could I, like you said, follow up in a way that was meaningful and thoughtful and showed I paid attention? Did I show up prepared so that person felt I valued their time? And that's really stuck with me. And it sounds like that's something you're really figuring out. And obviously, you know, as of this recording, you're like 2 weeks
out, right?
You're about to compete again. Like you've had the ceiling at like the 12 hours and 30 miles. You're about to, you know, raise the bar on that. What else what were some of the immediate things you started going, where have I stopped short? Where have I had a self-limiting belief? And maybe your internal board of directors or something else through that conversation highlighted something for you that you're like, if I can do this, now I'm going after this, like maybe a challenge that had been in front of you for a while and you weren't sure about or something else.
Yeah, the first one was real obvious. I don't have time. to get in shape for this, or I don't have time to be a triathlon runner because I'm busy at work. How am I going to train for that?
Right.
And you just figure it out when the goal is so clear and the vision is so clear and it's compelling and pulling you out. It's funny how things just work out and you don't even think about it. I wasn't exercising regularly like I am now. I wasn't eating the way I am now. And I would have told you before that I'm not sure if I could make that change because the cycle I'm in, you know, and so I broke it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really break it and know exactly what I'm going to go to. I broke it. And this vision was so big. I just figured it out as I went. And I think that's what's so important is the lesson for me is like, even in my business, you know, we talked about AI or whatever. If you're not sure where you're going and it's not exciting every day, that means your vision isn't pulling you over there. And when it does, all of a sudden things just start click. You don't think about it so much. You just do it.
Because everything is in service to that magnetic pull that you have. Had you been a person of big, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but a person who had like a big vision and really felt a magnetism towards something? You strike me as somebody who's like, hey, I'm a hard worker. I got a great work ethic. I'm trying to, you know, do my best. I'm not going to be a jerk. I want to work hard and love my family and do those sort of things, like be a great citizen of the world. But had you ever really had a big magnetic vision in your life or a milestone or something before this?
That's not quite like this. It is significantly for me. I've had some visions that were really clear before. I just recently wrote a newsletter on something small that was like, one of my loan officers came to me one time and said, hey, let me show you this office next door. This was back when we were in an office. And he's like, if you break this wall down and expand us to here, we'll get access to this training room. And when we get access to this training room, we can do all these trainings with all these realtors and grow our business. And then this vision became so clear immediately with her and I that it was like really awesome. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, we have to do this, you know? And then we sat down and wrote down literally every little thing that was going to happen. When somebody walks in the front door, they're going to be greeted. They're going to be handed a menu of a drink. And there's a certain thing that's going to happen. They're going to come to the training room. And we're going to have training three times a month. And all these people are going to know our name, you know? And it just, like, the vision was so super clear. We execute on it flawlessly because it was meticulously clear. And we knew there was no way we were going to turn back. And that was one of the first times I really knew, like, that vision is powerful. And I've had other visions. I invested in some real estate a couple years ago. And I learned how you can buy, you know, for somebody that has a W-2 employee, they could go buy some short-term rentals, you know, and do depreciate them and help, you know, help pay for the down payment and all that. So I don't want to get sidetracked, but I got super clear. I learned that. I got the vision clear and I owned two properties in like 3 months. It was like, bam. And so I knew it, but I would tell you when I know it, I act on it fast, but I don't have those moments that I'm super clear very often. I have a lot of ideas. I'm an idea guy, and I sit on them and I think about them, but I never, when they get really clear, like bam, go.
Yeah. One, I love speed to execution. Like, I just think that's a huge separator between like good leaders and great leaders is just that like clarity to execution move. But you brought up something that posed a question that I may even ponder beyond this and likely will is, how would you distinguish, because you said you're an idea guy. I have 100 ideas. That's why I am grateful for AI, because now I can spit all of them at it instead of boring my wife to death with all my harebrained ideas. But how would you differentiate or delineate between an idea and a vision?
Yes. That's a good one. The vision, an idea isn't fully baked and you're not sure how you're going to get there. I don't know if that makes sense, but a vision is so clear, it doesn't even matter. You just know that it's right and you're going to figure it out. I don't know if that's the best way to describe it. I guess that's a gut feeling.
Yeah, it could be a gut feeling, but I like, and you said bait, so it made me think, like an idea is, hey, I've got some ingredients.
Okay.
The vision is like, okay, finished product.
Or yes, watch the end result, network. Right?
Yeah, you're looking at it, you're like, I have a lot of ingredients. There's a lot of things I could make, but until I grab a recipe card and it tells me how I need to combine all the, I don't know what thing I'm making. All I know is I got, you know, flour all over my face and I've got something called, you know, rosemary over here and whatnot. So if vision would be sort of like a more finished outcome, whereas ideas are just sort of like all the little ingredients that could go into it, and you're not quite sure which ones are going to make the final baked
good. I think that's right. It's
I'm getting really hungry. It's close.
That's
to
That's right. We're going
to
be making pizzas or something here soon. But yeah, I mean, I think if you just funny, I say pizza is like you might say, yeah, we're going to make a pizza. But to me, a vision would be like, hey, we're going to go buy these three pizza ovens, put a truck together, and now we're going to start a business that we're out here, and now we're going to make X amount of money. And the, and it, you know, like it's super clear on what's going to happen. It's not just, hey, we got a good taste in pizza. What do we do with it? That's an idea. The vision is like fully baked, and there's an end result that you feel confident you can make happen. I think is the difference.
Yeah. Gotcha. Because I think there are some people who think, oh, well, I'm visionary. And heck, even in my work, I have the term visionary in a leadership styles assessment, in the system and soul framework, we use the term visionary. And I think some people latch on to that, especially in the world of business and entrepreneurship. Oh, I'm visionary. It's like, we need to come up with a different word if you just spew ideas.
Yes.
Based on this conversation, like you're an idea sharer. I don't know, the pieces are all there, but I have a vision. I have an idea of what to call an idea person, but not a vision for it. That'll crystallize later. Again, I'll figure it out. I'll put it in the show notes. But I do think that people need to get clear on whether or not you're just spewing ideas, or do you really have a vision for something? Because I think if anybody's listening to how John has described it, not just the words he's used, but the tone he's used, is there is a magnetism to like true vision.
Yes.
That pull, it's inviting. Which I think is the strongest way to for anything. I think that's how leaders should lead. It should be an inviting way, or like you can only crack the whip and get so much results. Like the drivenness of things I have found is usually short-lived, short-term. It's that inviting leadership, that inviting vision, because and you're an executive director leading other people. And so you are also partially responsible for casting some vision, whether it's personally, like you say, you try to be a positive influence personally and professionally for your team, is helping them cast vision for what could your life be like? What could you achieve? What could you sell? How many people could you help this year? What is it? What has this done in terms of your ability to lead and help cast vision for others and co-create and partner with them? Because I think that's what I see a lot of great leaders do, is not just dictate or just leave them on their own, but it's really sort of like a walking shoulder to help somebody catch their vision, not imprint a vision for them.
Yeah, I think one of the first things it's done is it gives me a story to connect with people on. And it's not just something that I tell that somebody else did, it's me doing it. I'm a big leader that believes in following people that have actually done the work. They have the skins on the wall. And so, you know, not just am I personally doing something, I've done a lot in my career in mortgage specifically, but this is a different personal way to connect with people, and that's relatable. And that's helped me a lot, because like you said, it's magnetic, it's kind of contagious. It's something people have asked me, like, how can I follow you on this journey? You know, so I've been thinking through, we put up a Facebook page and stuff. I'm going to try to post on as we're going through it, just because, you know, to say, hey, I got people asking me how to track me. And that carries into your business, even though it's a personal thing.
Right. One thing, and then I do want to pivot into how this influences some of the AI disruption, and because that's its own, you know, Kilimanjaro. I was curious, because you're married, you have kids, like, what has been the impact on them? They're the closest to you, and maybe even if you have some close work associates, but Craig Rochelle says in every leadership podcast, like, when the leader gets better, everybody gets better, sort of thing. Like, there's a trickle-down effect. But even those we're just in close relationship to, when they change, our relational dynamic changes.
Yes.
And which is a growing pain. It's a strain. It's caused some relationships for me to part ways and find new ones that are better or whatever. It just comes to an end. Talk a little bit about the impact on those closest to you, whether friends, family, or coworkers, with this journey you've been on and just the changes you've made in yourself.
Man, that's a great question. I'm kind of proud of this moment. You know, I have two kids. My son, Adrian's 24. My daughter's 21. And my wife, we've been married it'll be 27 years. So a lot of history. And where do I start? First of all, my wife I'm always been the kind of outgoing. She's an introvert. I'm the extrovert kind of person. And so that's how we go. And then I'm always way more active. Like, she's just trying to always keep up with me. And there's a point here where I'm telling her all the things I'm doing and how I'm feeling and the way I'm eating and exercise. I'm like, hey, I need you on this journey. What could that look like for you? How can you go down this journey? Not necessarily go up Kilimanjaro, but what can you change? And I can't push her because she's my wife. You know, you can't tell her what to do. You can't make her go to the gym. You know, you got to be respectful of that. But next thing you know, she's like, hey, I'm going to go to Pilates. And I'm going, and she's never done that. And I'm going to go here. And now she's going 4 or 5 times a week, getting up early, coming at going up late. Like, that's new for her. So that she's felt that inspiration in me. It's affecting her, which is awesome. And now we're talking about, I don't want to say what's next because I want to get through Kilimanjaro, but we have this conversation going about there's a 100-mile trail around Mont Blanc in Switzerland. And you go, like, every day you send your bag ahead, you eat breakfast and dinner, and you just kind of walk 6-7 miles a day, and it's like a cultural walk. We're thinking about doing that. Well, she wouldn't be able to do that yet because she's not quite ready in shape for that. But now we're talking about something like that we wouldn't have done. How cool is that, right? So that's a great question. With my kids, man, this is a cool part. My son was going to school because he's very artistic to become a digital artist. And so we had him going through the school in Canada, in Vancouver. And he goes and spends 10 days up there, sees some people doing the work, comes home and is like, this isn't for me. AI is changing. I don't want to spend 10 hours a day on a project, days on end. He's kind of real physical, outdoorsy, ADD type. He's like, I don't think I can do it. I'm like, what do you want to do? And I'm not encouraging dad with an open mind. And next thing you know, we sat down and he said, I want to be a ski instructor. And I'm like, we've skied our whole life since they've been born. So that's not out there, it is. And so fast forward, we sent him to France. He spends 4 months getting certified. He's a level 2 ski instructor. He spent all winter in Park City being a ski instructor. And how cool is that? Like, what an experience. My daughter went to Oklahoma State to go to college. Wasn't real sure exactly what she wants to be. But she loves Disney World because my wife and my daughter are freaks about Disney World. That's like they're saying. And so they have a college program. So I encourage her to go try the college program and experience Disney. And she did. I just brought her home 2 weekends ago from Orlando. She's been out there for 18 months. Nice. She went through the whole Disney College program, stayed longer, worked at Cinderella's Table, the restaurant in the castle, worked at a restaurant, Space 220 in Epcot, worked at the Grand Floridian, and went to college. Wow. Amazing experience. And it changed her life because she got to go out on her own, grow up, and experience Disney in a whole other way. Now she's got a path that she's looking at for her future that's a little different.
Yeah.
And so I believe that thinking big and not putting my restraints onto my kids or my family and letting them kind of choose and go after their goals has been really awesome to be part of that journey with them. Who knows what's next?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's one. Congratulations on all that. That's, I know, as a fellow husband and father, when you see your loved ones pursuing things, chasing things, achieving things, doing things, it feels like a win for you as well, because that's really what you want, is for them to have a beautiful, blessed life, whatever that means for them. Now, in transitioning into the world of mortgages, thinking about AI, as you said, you and your colleagues, y'all have been having some discussions. Sounds like maybe there's some industry scuttlebutt. What are you seeing from AI, and what about everything that you've already achieved and you're about to set out in 2 weeks? How is that shaping your perspective on something that is transforming and revolutionizing pretty much every industry? And if it hasn't reached you yet, it will.
I think here's where we're at right now. This is interesting. So our company was founded in 1997, Service First Mortgage, based out of Dallas. We have about 300 employees. I think this kind of puts it in perspective. So we're a good mid-sized mortgage company. We're established, people know us, and we do good business, good reputation. We've always had the mindset, if you will, that we don't want to be in the IT business because it's a large investment. That's a whole nother group of people. Let's just use the latest technology and kind of buckle it onto our system. And we'll do that, you know, and we've been like strict mindset on that. There's been moments of time where like, maybe we should create our own CRM or maybe our own thing. And we just write, no, and we've gotten counsel. And we've always stayed true to that. And that's who we are. And then all of a sudden, we're not real happy with maybe our CRM right now and where we sit with that. And so we're looking at some other things and kicking tires out there. And all of a sudden, we get a demo from a guy we trust that we sent him some records. And in a 20-minute Zoom call, he builds a CRM better than ours using AI in front of our eyes right there. And you're like, whoa. Shift happened, right? It just happened. And you're like, how can this guy build a CRM better than the one we're looking at in 20 minutes on a Zoom call? How's it possible? And why is it, and is it believable, right? And so, and you're like, so that really changes your mind. Like maybe we're thinking about this wrong and AI is here. And he says, this probably wasn't possible a year ago. Maybe a year and a half ago. It's to the technology that's happened in the last 6 months is so fast and so different, so progressive that now this is possible. What else would you guys like to do? And so now we're like, okay, wow. If we're in the business now of creating our own system the way we want and not taking all of the bolt-on systems from everybody else, that's a new mind shift. That's a different way of thinking. We can make it the way we want. It's cheaper in a lot of things. Like it's could be faster, better, cheaper. Ultimately, if it is what it is, we're really in the discovery of this at the moment. What's really crazy, like one more level to that. So this happens 2 weeks ago. I'm playing golf Saturday morning with guys. They're not mortgage. They're just some guys I play with. And one of the guys works for Google. And I always know I don't know what he does either. I just know he works for Google. He has this app that analyzes your golf swing he's been making or something. So I never really asked him much detail. So I posed the question, kind of what I just told you. And he goes, yeah, man, this is what I do. I got a team of 8 people. I go into large companies and basically just create new systems and automate everything. And he goes, give me all of your underwriting findings for the last 3 years and I can automate your full underwriting system in 2 weeks. I was like, are you kidding me? He goes, and he says it with so much confidence. You're like, wow.
Either he really can or he's
insane. I don't know which one it is yet, but
it's a fine line.
The thing that's interesting is it's not like I called him for a sales pitch. We're playing golf. We're just buddies BSing on the court. He has no agenda here. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what makes me want to believe it. I'm like, wow. So I was like, have you ever done this before? He's like, yeah, I've done this with mortgage companies already a lot larger than what you're saying. And I'm like, okay, there's something to this mindset shift. The world is changing. We need to embrace it. We may be on the forefront of thinking like this right now, you know?
Yeah. That's just super stinking cool. Cause like I told you, I've been like eyeball deep in looking at how AI could impact what I do. Cause it's a lot of knowledge work, which is sort of like the first thing to get replaced by a lot of AI, because why do you need a coach or a consultant or an advisor or anything like that when I could just like type in my question and I have access to the, you know, the knowledge of the universe? But the thing that is interesting is it reminds me of the book from Dan Sullivan, 10X is easier than 2X. Yep. It's like building something that custom, that fast, that is also that good. That's asking a totally different question. It's not, hey, you know what? We're kind of upset with our CRM. It's failed us in a few ways. It doesn't have the integrations we want, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just using your CRM as an example. What can we do to make this? We can make this better, right? Like there's an add-on, or maybe we need to upgrade to the next package or something like that. But now you're talking about a completely custom solution built in a crazy fast amount of time, because 2 weeks to build something that custom is insane. Right. And then also for it to work so well and consistently, I think is a total 10X, which, you know, I think goes back to if I was your thinking has 10X, like walking the dog a mile, that was good. Now 3 miles is like, whatever, dude, I've done 10 times this. I've done 30 miles and didn't die. So now you do 30 miles and I don't know what your total hike up Kilimanjaro is going to be, but I have to imagine it's significantly more than 30 miles.
No, it's over 50. So
like, and that's not just walking down the street. Like that's an actual mountain. You could probably see it from space or something like that. So we'll get a satellite to go over and be like, that's right. Right down there.
It's significant.
He's on the peak. He's got a flag. But that is that 10X. So now it sounds like that 10X thinking is really floating into work in one area. And I'm going to make an assumption here, because I feel like this has happened to me too, is when I see something like that, it is so different. It is 10X, whatever I was thinking. It makes me start wondering, where else have I been thinking too small? And maybe I need to ask a totally different question to break out of this. I don't need to make this a little bit better. I need to make something completely different.
Yeah. That's a great question. I wrote it down. I just have to remember that. Where else am I thinking too small? It's so good. Like I need to think back to all my parts of my life. But it can scare me. Like when you just repeated my story and said you could do this in 2 weeks, man, it doesn't feel believable yet. Is it possible? Wow. Yeah. That is a 10X. It's massive and scary, Karen.
Right? Yeah, because a lot of people spend like 2 years with like a Salesforce implementation or something crazy, getting it all customized and paying someone $500,000 a year to manage the daggum thing. You can tell I have no love lost between me and Salesforce. Yep. So I'm repping HubSpot till I die, I guess. But that I do. The other thing I really like, and that and where your story really resonates with me and hopefully to listeners, is like your walk that you set out on. You had somebody share this idea. You're like, you know what? That'd be kind of neat. Like I'll do it. You didn't set out to have a catalytic event that would reshape how you see yourself, how you see what's possible. You weren't thinking Kilimanjaro before this. And just like you said on the walk, the thoughts you had at the beginning, 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock, you're in the early, you're like, all right, cool, 30 minutes, whatever, no biggie. You get, you know, 6 hours into it, you're like, huh, what if the sky was orange? Exactly. You know, you start hallucinating. Yeah. The part that resonates with me, one, I didn't do the half Ironman. I'm just relating to a physical thing because I've done other stuff too. I'm like, oh, I didn't set out to change my thinking of like, oh, well, this is not that hard. Like, you know, I have 5 kids and we've fostered 18. Mm-hmm. And so now they're like, hey, we don't want to burden you by sending our kids over to spend the night or whatever. And I'm like, I probably won't even notice them. Like at this point, there could be 12 kids running around. I might not know the difference. And not because I'm an inattentive father. It's just because like the numbers just start to not really matter once you hit about 4. it's reset my minimum standard. Alex Hormozi, I don't know if you follow him. He's a sales and marketing guy. He's brilliant. He tells a story in a business context of a CEO who, I don't know, just reached out to him for some consulting or attended one of his workshops and said, man, I'm leading my company, but I know I need to build a personal brand because I have other things I want to do in my life. And I'm going to need that platform and that leverage in order to go do it. And Alex said, okay, cool. Yeah. Like that's worked for me. You know, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, well, I'm posting once a day, every day on LinkedIn and Facebook. And then we have some other things. So I'm doing about 100 pieces of content a month in total. Which sounds like a lot, 100, that's not small. Alex goes, okay. Or actually, and Alex is talking to him. He's like, we do 450 pieces of content a week.
Duh.
And that guy goes, what? He goes, thank you. You just reset my minimum standard. So now he's thinking in hundreds, not like I got to do like 10 more pieces and that'll just really be the cherry on top. Like fundamentally doing something different to get to that outcome. And so I'm excited for you with the hike and anything else y'all are tackling. Cause that's sort of like big thinking, like getting deep into a vision and plowing through. Cause a lot of times you have to go through a bunch of stupid ideas before you get to the good ones. I've been plowing through that and trying to think, do I develop my own IP? I'm going through it and I'm like, okay, now that I've stepped back and I ate something and I look at this is the dumbest thing I've ever said. But then I iterate on the dumb thing and it got me to the smart thing and I never would have reached the smart thing if I hadn't done the dumb thing. And I think that's an illusion, isn't it?
I don't know.
A bit, like it's counterintuitive. How about that? That's better. It's counterintuitive because you think you go straight to the smart thing.
Yep. But all you did is get clarity on the real vision of where you're going. Kind of go back to our conversation. Got a lot of ideas, but the ideas aren't the real vision yet. You're just formulating it.
Yeah.
Once the vision is clear, it's just easy.
I definitely would love to have you back on post-hike and talk about what sort of... I'd love to interview like right after and get fresh hallucinations from the mountaintop. But so we'll figure that out once you get back. I do wish you safe travels. But if somebody's listening to this, they're like, you know what? I need to 10X my thinking. I'm thinking small here. What's that thing I need to step out into and really cement? You know, I got all these ideas, but I need to cement this vision and be pulled towards something because it seems like all the other dominoes fall. If somebody's motivated by that, what's a baby step they could take in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to make progress towards their version of this sort of journey?
Okay, baby step. This is it. Go grab a piece of paper and a pen and go sit out in nature for 3 hours and just write and get clear. That you don't have to do a 12-hour walk. You don't have to go 30 miles. Even in the book, if you read it, it doesn't matter how far you walk. I just kind of made it a physical challenge because I can't just sit there. I get bored. But the 3 hours, you got to go sit and just be with your mind. In outdoors is best, you know. And you will gain clarity on what you're looking for. You find what you're looking for, I always say. Go look for it and put it out there and you'll find it. But that won't cost anything and it will be impactful.
Yeah. You might have to spend a little money on bug spray depending on where you live. Just outrun the mosquitoes and you'll be fine. John, thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom, your insights. I know it's going to help somebody. It's already helped me. If people want to know more about you, want to follow along with the journey, or even after this has happened and they want to look back to kind of close the loop from hearing you, where would you send them?
So my best place to connect is on LinkedIn. That's my favorite spot, The John Donnelly on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there. I'm going with a friend of mine up Kilimanjaro. His name's Mark Cable. He's a real estate agent. He put together a Facebook group. It's called Summit Success Society, I believe. It's on Facebook. If you look me up, John Donnelly on Facebook, it'll connect you right over to it. We're going to try to use that as our spot to just kind of post updates along the way. So ultimately, love to hear from anybody that has any thoughts or questions. Just shoot me a message. So
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to hear and watch. So I'm going to go find the Facebook group so I can follow along and cheer you on. Not that I'm not cheering your friend on as well, but that's I don't right. know him. I'm with him in spirit as well. Thank you so much. Look forward to having you back. Listener, thank you so much for spending part of your day with me and John. We hope that this was entertaining, but more importantly, that this inspired something in you to take action, to take that next step in your leadership journey. And if you would like, rate, review the podcast wherever you tune in. Tend to have Apple, Spotify, and YouTube as our biggest places, but I know that there are other fine apps out there. Your feedback helps me make this podcast better, and ultimately you're the person and the people that I am making this for. I have a blast doing it, but it has to be valuable for you, and your engagement helps other people find this. And that is a free and easy way for you to help a fellow leader in their journey. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.